So welcome, Oliver. As I said, installing stuff, and all the reviewers know first impressions count. So whether you have a nice installer or not will make or break your review of a Linux phone. So welcome, Oliver.
Thank you. So this is called OnDev2. I'm Oliver Smith, and as you can see from the number, there's probably also a first version, right? So I'm going to tell the story of that a bit. It started with the PinePhone PostmarketOS Community Edition, where we figured, well, it would be nice if when you bought the phone and you had PostmarketOS pre-installed, that there would you would be able to encrypt it, actually. So it's not just installed, but you can encrypt it like a proper phone. Yeah, and that's how the idea for the on-device installer was born. It looks like this. Basically, a simple UI. You press your continue button at the welcome page, then you put in a password or PIN for the user, and you can select whether you want full disk encryption or not. And that's that. After we released that, an additional feature came, which is that you can select whether you want to install to the eMMC from the SD card. So if you already have a Pine phone where something else is installed or PostmarketOS is broken or whatever, then you can just take an SD card, put the on-device installer on it, and then you will see this prompt here, and it asks you, do you want to install to the SD card itself, which works after some complicated stuff. And you can also install to the eMMC and overwrite stuff there. That's what it can do, basically. And this is a cross-distro project, so not only PostmarketOS is using this, but also Mobian. Looks like this. Mobian already did a talk. They boosted the font a bit, but it's basically the same. And they also added that you can choose the file system, which is quite nice. So I thought to myself, well, it's good that we have this, and it works for what it does, and it was good as an initial version, but what would be the perfect version of this, right? And a lot of people tried this out, and they figured, well, it would be nice if they had more options, like being able to select the file system or the host name or what have you, like 100 options like you have in a desktop Linux installer. And other people were like, well, it's too much options already. What is this SSH user, which we also removed? There was a separate user which you could set up. And so it's a bit conflicting, and it was hard to figure out what would be the perfect version, right? And besides that, it would be necessary to choose the language and locale. And it would be nice if it was adaptive, so it doesn't look like a letterbox like this when you run it on a laptop, which is the case with the first one. And also it would be nice if there was the same keyboard, because the keyboard was entirely different, and also there was another keyboard in the Unlocker application, and then another one when you finally have it installed, so you had three keyboards, which is not very consistent. So my plan was to add a simple and advanced mode, so you could deal with that some people want more options, some people want less options, so the casual users can just go to the simple installation and have the least questions asked that you need to get it running. And the advanced mode would be for the nerds, where you can pick everything and have it encrypted or not, and choose separate passwords if you want, and so on. Yeah, so I went ahead. This is the decision tree, which you would have for the simple and advanced mode. This is the simple path. So it goes through welcome, then you choose your language and locale. Then it asks you simple or advanced, then you say simple, and then you choose the installation storage, if it's possible with your device. And then you would set up one combined password for full disk encryption and for the user. And it wouldn't even ask you if you want to encrypt it, because it's just assumed, okay, that's the right thing to do for normal people who don't care. And then it's ready to install. And then we have the advanced path, which is more complicated. You get asked for the storage device, then you can pick the file system, the host name, the username, and maybe lots of more options we can add later. And you set the user password, then it asks you, do you want full disk encryption or not? And then it asks you, do you want to use the same password or not? In the current installer, it didn't work like this. You had to type in the same password again if you wanted the same password, and that's not very optimal on the tiny phone screen, you know. So, yeah, after that, you're ready to install. So as you can see, this is a nightmare of choices. And, it would need a lot of testing. You would need to test all the code paths every time, and to make this feasible, it needs to be automated. And this was not possible with the current code stack. So I looked elsewhere. So first, here's a slide. We need short test cycles, CI for all paths, and it should be easy to extend that. It's not much effort to add a new option if it, where it makes sense, right? Of course, the idea is not to add endless options that don't make sense at all, but some of them are really useful for users. So I looked around and figured what could I use for the stack, and I found this nice application. This is called Unlocker by Johannes Marbach. And it's a replacement for OSK SDL, which is the unlocking application you use to type in your password after you have installed it. And yeah, the nice thing about it is it can use the keyboard layout from Phosh, so that's already pretty consistent then. And it's very small. It's based on LVGL. Yeah, it has a dark mode. And you can, it's actually adaptive like this. So lots of great potential here. So I based OnDev 2 on this. And behold, on the next slide, you will see what it looks like. Looks like this. Yeah, it's still like similar format. You will see some description, and then you, in this case, you select the language and then continue. And then you, like here are a few example screens which it has. Here you can pick whether you want a simple installation or advanced installation. And where you want to install it, on your eMMC or SD. And here you would set the combined password. I know the visibility icon is a bit blown up. This needs to be fixed, but that's the current state. Yeah, and here it asks you if you want to use the same password or not. So basically what I showed in the decision tree earlier. Meanwhile, while it's displaying all these dialogues, you will see on the serial output that there's a text interface. And this is useful because, well, it's kind of nice that you can also type in the answers on your keyboard, but it has some practical use. It can be used for accessibility when we hook it up with some text-to-speech and speech-to-text stuff, and then you could actually talk your way through the installation. And it's, of course, very useful for testing because then we can, yeah, just run through the whole thing in an expect script, and that's... So there's one line which would interact with this dialogue, and there's a function button, and it waits for a page with the title Advanced Options. Then it looks for a button called Simple Installation, and it has to be the first one, all based on the text output above. And it presses it, and if the dialogue doesn't show up, then it runs into a timeout and the test fails. And so, as you can see, we can add new tests and extended tests really easily. That was the goal, that it's super easy to test the whole thing. What comes next? The code. So this is what the code looks like for this advanced options page. The idea was to make it very small, and I believe I've accomplished that. So you set the title, the description. It can be translated, that's why there's this T around it, and you set the buttons. And that's how you would add a new page like this. And you don't need to add some XML file with the layout or what have you. So that's quite short. And this is the button handling. It's also not complicated. You don't need to read it now, but basically that's my point, that it's easy to extend. Okay, and then we have the current state, so it's still work in progress. What's done is it runs entirely in the initramfs, which was not the case before, so this is also nice because it saves like 100 megabyte or so of overhead. There are these abstractions for pages, for installation steps, which also need to be extended, and I just showed you the decision tree, but that's only the front end. The back end, of course, needs to handle all these decisions also, and needs to react based on what you chose there. Test cases are there already for installing from SD to SD, from SD to eMMC, and these are just examples. We could also add NVMe, of course, and what other installation mediums you have, but I think it's useful for the user to be able to see, okay, this is the SD card and not this is some dev MMC BLK0 or what have you for the normal user, so they know where they are going to install it. So I just called it SD and set a path in a config. And yeah, the tests run with LO setup or QMU. You can use LO setup to run it on your own laptop. And this gives you the fastest test iteration cycle. You can also run it in QMU, so you make sure that you have all the files in the InnoDrumFS actually, and that it works after rebooting, that you can properly boot into the OnOS. And so this is the more complete test. And with LO setup, I actually rebooted my own PC once. So you need to look out for that if you run it next to your regular operating system. To-dos needed to replace the first on-device installer is some more testing, fix some fix-me's, and the usual stuff. Properly integrated into PostMarketOS at least. So I would be happy if Mobian also wants to use this and other distributions, Arch, and we have so many distributions out there. But PostMarketOS is probably the first test case because this was developed in tandem with it. And for the next level, this is the really exciting stuff. So once it works and replaces the current one, we could actually support more devices, Android devices, Chrome OS devices, because for them you can just install it on the whole storage device. You have to keep in mind that there are already partitions and need to use them in some way. And what's nice is we could download the OS images with Wi-Fi. So you would only flash this very tiny installer to your SD card, boot it up, and then you could pick any OS image and download it, and you wouldn't need to create a new SD card every time, and it would be much faster than when you have to flash this whole image every time. And yeah, even better, we could also construct the OS images on the fly with the package manager, which is APK in the case of PostMarketOS Alpine. And then we might be able to get rid of some of the OS images because it takes quite some resources to generate them every time. So this would be nice also. And yeah, that's towards the end of my presentation. Thanks to all those people who helped out making this possible. And thank you for listening, of course. Yes, that's the plan, to use Unlocker to replace OSK SDL also. And that's quite far, I believe. There were some bugs with some very few phones. This is why we didn't roll it out before, but it should be there sometime soon. Yeah. Any more questions? Yeah.
You mentioned the expected use case is you put it on an SD card and put the SD card on the device. Do you have a flow that would work for devices that don't have an SD card today?
You could flash the on-device installer to the place where you would install the operating system, and from there it can expand itself into the installation. So this works by, you have first the boot partition, then you have a lot of empty space where you will put the installation, and then you have the on-device installer, and it uses the empty space and creates the look script setup device there, and then shoves the data from the third partition in there and then deletes the third partition and expands it, and that's how it also currently works.
Is that an idea or is that implemented?
That's already implemented in the first version already. So, and the second version can do that too.
What is the minimum RAM requirements for the InnoDrumFS?
I didn't look, but I would expect, it's LVGL, it's super tiny. Maybe 50 megabytes or 100, it's tiny, really. You can compile the whole UI thing in like a second or so. So it's really, it's also fun to develop with this. Yeah.
I have a question if there's no more, because it's distro independent. So what's the way to handle distro specific things like configuring repository sources or set different ways to set host names on different distros or things like that?
Good question. So there's a config file, and there's actually some distro-specific parts inside the main repository upstream, and they are separated in a different directory, and there you have a directory structure for all the operating systems, and my idea is that we test them in CI all the time, so we ensure that they don't break. So when you make one change, that it still works in all the other distros. And you have a separate config file, and you can run your own code. There are some hooks. For example, after you're done with installing and you want to regenerate the initramfs, then you can put the commands for that in a shell script and run that after the installation.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Okay.
No more questions? Okay, so thank you very much, Oliver.